everyone, Ryan here. As you may have heard on our previous podcast, the Ko-Fi we had, we actually shut down, and we're actually going to start sunsetting the podcast to an eventual end. But do not worry, we have a year left of going through this backlog of bonus material every week that we are off, starting this week. And so we begin with our first archive item. To explain, back in 2021, we figured we should have an update every week with a bonus miscellaneous episode called Building Upon. However, eventually we decided that the main episodes should stand on their own instead. We did, however, record about 5 of them with 3 completed and released. I lost the other 2 over the years, and honestly, I can barely remember what they're about. But if you're willing, sit back and relax and take a listen to us from August of 2021 to discuss an upcoming coast-to-coast Disney vacation that Dorman was about to take. To our very first minisode, which will be every week between podcasts called Building Upon. This is Unbuilt, minisode 1. In these minisodes, myself or Mr. Dorman and I will be responding to feedback, concerns, and mail from listeners, or just talking about a general topic. So it's going to be like a laid-back, looser version of our podcast. It's going to be about like 15, 30 minutes, maybe even sometimes 5 or 10 minutes, but like a little treat between episodes for everybody. All right. So last week we talked about the SS Disney. If you would like us to reach out to us about the episode, contact us at unbuiltpod@gmail.com or on our Twitter account at unbuiltpod. Yo, yes, you can make the show. But for now, we're still recording these before the actual show has yet to come out. So I would not expect us to respond to any feedback until about September. So that's when you probably will be hearing back if you do reach out to us. So for now, let's just kind of discuss a little random topic. How are you doing today, Ryan?
Well, I don't think anyone's ever called me Mr. Dorman before, I know. So I'm doing good.
Yeah. Excuse me, Mr. Dorman was my father, you know.
Yeah, I'm doing well. I can't say anything's going too crazy. I know the last time we recorded, I don't even know if we mentioned it on the show, but I know that you were going through a bit of a heat wave.
Yeah.
I'm actually curious to know how that's going.
It's cooled down here significantly, thankfully. It's gone from 110 to a balmy 105 degrees. Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's chilly.
Huh? Yeah. Thankfully, the monsoons, like, it's been storming every night here in Vegas.
Oh, that's good. So it's like a hot storm. I know this is not what the viewers came for, but weather talk.
It's pretty much, yeah, a hot thunderstorm. Lots of lightning and little microbursts of downpours.
Oh, geez. Well, that just sounds quite miserable.
It's like being in Florida. Speaking of Florida, the reason why we're recording all these episodes super early is because you're spending a good chunk of August of being going from Florida and California, right?
Yes. So we're recording these a bit early, of course, because they're going to go up. You're probably listening to this, of course, in August. But around that time, I'm spending some time in Cali, and then a week at specifically Walt Disney World after that. One thing that I actually would be interesting to ask you about, because this is impromptu. I have not posed this question or planned it. But so, yeah, so I'm probably going to spend a day in Disneyland. Mm-hmm. Now, it's absolutely worth talking about Disneyland, especially with someone like you who just recently canceled their Disneyland trip because those. Oh, when is Haunted Mansion closing?
August 16th, and I was going to go, I believe, like August 18th.
Yeah, so it's not even worth it.
There was no way to coordinate it earlier. I could not go any earlier. It was that date or nothing else, and it's like, nope. So I can't.
Yeah, not waste your time.
Right.
Yeah. So one thing that we would have probably talked about a long time ago was prices. Pricing in the parks, of course, increasing constantly.
Yes.
From when, of course, when I was younger, when you were younger, and now today to the behemoth of a wallet sponge that it can be. Mm-hmm. I noticed, I don't know if you saw, I put it on Twitter, that I was looking for daily tickets at Disneyland. And you would be surprised. I guess you just purchased your tickets, right? But for anyone who hasn't been up to date on that, Disney recently unveiled a multiple-tier system for Disneyland. Yeah, 5 tiers, which kind of, I don't remember hearing anything about it. So the Disneyland ticket prices now are incredibly different than they are in Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
Walt Disney World, I remember right around the time when we were beginning to complain about Magic Kingdom ticket prices getting up to like 120. But Disneyland ticket prices make that look a little small. The highest Disneyland ticket price is like $150. Mm-hmm. And as a Disneyland aficionado like yourself, I'm going with somebody who has very little familiarity with the Disney parks. Is more familiar with like high octane roller coasters and stuff like that. Now, here's the question that I fear you may answer in just one straight line. Disneyland or Disney's California Adventure? Because the Park Hopper Pass would be $234 a ticket, and I don't think I mean find somebody willing to pay that.
Now I'm always going to default to Disneyland, okay? Mm. It's the OG. Plus, there's more things to do. Now, if they want to do more thrills and you also want to like experience the new Avengers Campus, DCA is a good option, but it's also the fact that you're still stuck in a park that doesn't have that much to do.
That's a good point.
Disneyland is the full package. Now, are they familiar with Magic Kingdom?
Yeah, they certainly are familiar with Disney. But I don't think they're necessarily like Disney heads like the two of us.
Okay, so but they do know the Magic Kingdom.
They know of it, yeah.
They know of it. So DCA might be a little bit more of a newer vibe, a different vibe. But the fact is that both of them will still have familiar traits. The thing is that Disneyland, you know, number one, does have more coasters. Something that people don't tend to think about. Yes, Incredicoaster is technically a more thrilling coaster, but you have Big Thunder, you have Space Mountain, both in Disneyland. I believe you also have the Matterhorn, and I really can't think of anything else. No. And you have Galaxy's Edge there. So
true.
Yeah. So you're going to get more bang out of your buck if you just go to Disneyland.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking for somebody who's so little acclimated. Because that's one interesting thing is that how do you sell a ticket price to DCA nowadays when it's going to cost you around $130 to go to DCA?
Yeah.
I mean, perhaps if the Incredicoaster was California Screamin', I would have.
but you don't have Cookie Num Num Cookie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the ride doesn't shut up. Yeah, or it does shut up, I guess, in California Screamin'. Yeah. But yeah, it's the having been booking a trip for Disneyland, it is becoming more and more clear that I don't anticipate Disneyland expects you to drop the full ticket price on exclusively DCA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it seems like DCA is built to be the $100 add-on to your Disneyland day.
Yeah, it very much still seems like that. Not only that, but they also really want you to do a multi-day now.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, they would not, because it was, if you're in Cali, it's like $86 a day for 3 days. Mm-hmm. But even if you're not in Cali, it's still like a light, back 90s, I guess.
And it's very hard for people to wrap their heads around the idea, because it's like, well, you only have two parks versus four. But actually, when you look at the attraction amount, it's decidedly different. Now, I haven't thought about it within COVID terms, because all your shows are shot. You don't have any shows right now. But in normal times, Disneyland and California Adventure combined had a greater amount of attractions than Epcot, DHS, DAK, and Magic Kingdom, all four combined. So that was always the driving point of, this is why you should spend a multi-day vacation. But there is also the fact that, yes, Disney World does have a much larger shopping district. They have the water parks and the lush resorts, which you really only, I mean, let's be honest, you really only have two there. The Paradise Pier is just it's like a little growth there. Way too expensive for what it actually is, but you only have two resorts there, so it's, you know, obviously cheaper if you stay off property, and it's kind of very hard to justify, why would I spend 3 days here where there's not as much seemingly going on. So it depends on the way you also want to pace your vacation as well.
Absolutely.
So thing is, there is a case to be made for the multi-day, but there is also the fact that if you wanted to just get one done, you would just do Disneyland. That's what you should do. Okay.
All right. Well, that's it. So live, you heard it, folks. Yeah, it's the live decision making here. Because we'll be in LA, which is and probably make a day of Disneyland. And my thought is, as much as they might like The Incredibles and Cars, and I guess Soarin's kind of cool.
Are they huge into the MCU?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
He has like no interest in that.
Just do Disneyland.
Yeah, I know. The thing, it's like, I look at pictures of the Incredicoaster and I'm like, I don't know. How badly do I want to go back on California Screamin'? Mm-hmm. And it's like, is it $100 bad?
Yeah.
Maybe, but not really. You know, because I guess there's still Galaxy's Edge and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's that. There's the one day there, and then I'm luckily, I think for the first time in years, I get to go to Disney World and not have to come back and review it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I might speak about it, but you know, habits are hard to break. But yeah, getting to go to Disneyland or Disney World, especially now that the young man over here is 21. during food and wine,
Get to go to La Cava.
The Cava de Tequila. Mm-hmm. I'll be on my ass by China.
Yeah.
I think the both Sam's will be open.
Yeah, I believe so. Though Trader Sam's is apparently a bitch to get into right now, I hear.
Really? Oh, yeah. It's just full.
Mm-hmm.
Are they doing like COVID restrictions on the capacity?
I don't believe so. It's just very small, and it's a lot of pent up demand for.
In Disneyland too. Oh, shoot. Well, let's fingers crossed that it'll change in a month. I mean, it won't, but fingers crossed that it'll change in a month. Disney World has been significantly easier to plan for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're kind of relegated for somebody on my budget to like All-Star Movies, which even then is way too expensive.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm going
you
with...
You could get a surprise upgrade if you're lucky enough.
Yeah, if I like beg.
Well, the thing is that, well, this might not be in effect because they're starting to open up different hotels, but they've been essentially acting other hotels not being at full capacity. They've been using them as release valves. So people would just like overbook the value hotels. And if they're overbooked, they'll just give you a free upgrade. I've been hearing this on the Disney Dish with Len Testa and Jim Hill.
To where? Like another just mid-tier?
No. You could go up to as nice as Grand Flow.
Wow.
But that's only if you're lucky enough.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed that I don't have to stay in the... Well, the thing is that if you look at the prices, right? Mm-hmm. The prices for even the value tier are getting up to like the $210, $250.
It's kind of ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, especially when so much of the hotels are closed and there's so little amenities in comparison to years ago, right?
Yeah. Are you guys going to be one of the last people on Magical Express? Or?
Yeah, actually, yeah. I don't think I've done Magical Express in years because I mostly have been like, all right, I'm going to get my car, rent a car, and go to, you know, because of Rise of the Resistance and Avatar. But now, because I can do Rise from the hotel room, if I even get in, right? I don't have no need to do a rent a car, so I'm gonna take 800 years to get to All Star Movies.
I think I said this on the old show, but I think Magical Express is hugely overrated. I totally get the perk, but it's only good if you stay at a deluxe hotel, because if you stay in a value, Magical Express is actually pretty torturous. It's about a 70 to 90 minute drive from the airport.
Yeah, the one thing is that it's complimentary, I guess, right? But then the Uber would cost maybe what, like $40 probably?
Yeah.
I could see that Uber being pretty expensive. But at the same time, if you have the money to burn, which maybe you shouldn't, but if you do, I remember you told the story of how you were like the last stop on one of the Magical Expresses. Yeah.
Remember I got off and like I had, this is like my first trip back to Walt Disney World in 9 years. And so I like, I like drafted a plan like to the T. And so I get on board and I'm like, hey, so how long until we get an Art of Animation? And he just looks and goes, 80 minutes. And I'm like, what? No, I have plans. No. So I think we went to Yacht and Beach and I'm like, hey, if I get off here, you guys are still going to deliver suitcases to my hotel room, right? He's like, yeah. So can I just get off here? I'm like, do you want to get off here? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get off here. And I got off there and I went to Downtown Disney. And so that's what I did because it was going to take me like another 50 minutes to get back to the Art of Animation.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. You can really abuse some of those the transportation services like that just by getting off at certain locations and daisy chaining your way.
Well, yeah,
I think I did.
Yeah, and I think Mears is going to start up its own service once this expires. And if I believe correctly, I think those are going to take you direct to your hotel.
Well, unless it's complimentary, I don't see why I wouldn't buy an Uber.
It's not complimentary.
No way it's cheaper than an Uber.
That's a good question. I don't know how cheap it is. I haven't looked at the prices.
I guess we'll see. But yeah, returning to Disney World, I mean, nothing's new, so there's very little update on
it. I'm going in like early October, and I thought this would be a smart idea because Ratatouille would be open by then. And then I just realized, oh no, this is probably a bad idea because everybody's coming at that one time. So right now I'm planning it to where it's like, okay, I need to hit up this, and these like four things. If I get to those four things, I'll be happy.
Yeah, I'm beginning to realize that the crowds are seemingly at an all-time high. Mm-hmm. And I past Ryan, that pain in the ass who wrote that article about how people are going to stop going to Disney World, perhaps you were a little too optimistic that people would realize that they're being scammed. Because not only are they going, but they are getting scammed even harder than before.
Well, I mean, you did not see a giant pandemic coming to create artificial pent-up demand.
Well, I wrote a thing a long time ago that was like, all right, here's what's going to happen. The pandemic is going to have people realize that they don't need to spend money at these horrible amusement parks. They can go to natural parks and see the world. And I could not have been more wrong. The prices have shot up like nobody's business. And people are just buying this mediocre product. But I'm super excited to go without like a sense of cynicism. I got my Oga's reservation. I got Sanaa. I got,
I haven't even booked my reservations yet.
They were a real pain in the ass. Especially cause I had to sign up for Mouse Watcher, which would inform me of a reservation for Oga's because there were so few.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I can imagine that like, it's just, I mean, I understand why it's super tight.
Well, let's hope you go and there's not paid Fastpass yet. So,
Oh, jeez. I really hope not.
I mean, if they offered it and I was like, okay, so wait, so it's going to cost me an extra $30 and I get my guaranteed ride on Slinky Dog Dash and Mickey and Minnie, let's do it. I would honest to God do it.
If the only attractions I would do it with are probably Flight of Passage, Rise of the Resistance. Well, that's Flight of Passage is actually the weights are pretty low recently. But Rise of the Resistance, if I could pay like $50 and bring two people on there, I honestly would drop the money. And I know that's a sheep thing to say, but
if the way I see it, if it's Rise of the Resistance or if it's an attraction I've never ridden before, I'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that it depends. Like, I wouldn't pay for Spider-Man.
Right, exactly. Web slingers.
Yeah, I would not pay for that. No way. But I did pay for Spider-Man at Universal. So, you know, what are you going to with that true. Express pass? True. Yeah.
But anyways, before we wrap this up, I do have a story. We're talking about those tiers. Mm-hmm. And here's what like infuriates me about the tiers. So I bought my ticket. And then I learned that Haunted Mansion was going to be closed 2 days prior to my arrival. And I was like, screw this. So I called them up. And apparently if you hammer it on them enough, like if you really hammer it on them, they will refund your ticket. But I wasn't into it. So I asked, okay, so what if I wanted to go on a tier one or tier two? Because I bought a tier three. They're like, right. Well, Disney doesn't allow downgrades. I'm like, of course but they don't. Of course you don't. They don't, because that means they're obligated to give you some of your money back. So of course they won't. Mm-hmm. And then upgrades are even more difficult, which doesn't make any sense. This makes zero sense. If you want to upgrade to a tier four, or tier five, you have to do it direct at the gate. Now, why in 2021 do we still have to do it like that? I'm asking you. I would like to pay more money to go on a different date, but you can't do that over the phone.
Yeah, I don't know why that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I was just wondering, like, if you buy a tier three, why shouldn't you be able to, like, you're basically saying take extra money and I'll just go. Right. Like, I'll just let me come. Like, if you show up one day, they won't even let you in with a tier three.
No, they will send you to the ticket booth and they will go, you got to get a new ticket. This is a tier four day.
That's wow. What a, oh my God. Like they, I obviously, you know, we're limited on time here cause we're almost finished the show, but there is that is so anti-consumer. That is so not fair because I guarantee
it is so dumb.
And this, I guarantee you with 99% accuracy, a majority of consumers have no clue. Sorry. Can we swear on this show?
I'd have to put the explicit tag on there. I'm probably going to bleep that.
Yeah, go good. As long as it's bleep, don't cut, don't censor it, but don't censor me. as long as that's funny. We never had to do the explicit one before. I guess I was just too lazy for it. I guarantee a majority of consumers have absolutely no clue what that is, mm-hmm. And you're gonna have a lot of consumers, especially from the Anaheim area, who are just locals who are just returning to Disneyland. And Disney's going to be like, well, you bought a tier five for $150 and you tried to come on a day where it's $100 and you can't come, which is weird because that means you can either pay for a low ticket and go with very few people or pay for a high ticket and be restricted to only going when the crowds are miserable. Isn't that our high prices are when there's like higher crowds, right?
Yeah. So it's when it's higher demand, it's going to be higher money. But what doesn't make a lick of sense is the fact that it's not an interchangeable system at all, which is, mm-hmm. like you said, so anti-consumer and so nonsensical because it's playing into this idea that we don't think about how plans change and stuff like that, especially after the last year and a half that we just had where everyone's plans got changed and you're still going on the system. You're still going on the system. Makes no sense. I don't have any clue if Universal is the same because they also do the tiers, but I don't know if they're also the same on
are
changing.
They really?
I know Universal Studios Hollywood is kind of the same. They still have to do it at the ticket booths itself, which again makes no sense. Do not
What's
get
up with
this.
Disney. What's up with Disney borrowing a lot of Universal stuff recently?
To be fair,
this was
Disney's idea first, and then Universal copied it.
And then Disney copied it again? Because this tier system hasn't been here for a while, has it?
It's been here for at least since 2016, because I remember that's when I first ran into the problem where...
Wow.
That was actually before they were doing... That was like when it was brand new and just announced, and that was before they were doing the reservation system, which made it easier to at least know what you were doing. So I accidentally bought the wrong tier, and they refused to let me change it over the phone. And again... I know somebody responding out there. Yes, I know. If you bother them enough, I know that they will do it. Here's the thing. I used to work in call centers, and I just am very against that. I just don't like doing that. So I'd rather wait. I'd rather wait and see. If it comes to the point where I absolutely need to do this, I will. But for the time being, I don't want to bother.
Yeah, I think that about sums it up.
Exactly. So, yeah, so this is going to basically be the thing. Once again, sometimes we'll be answering feedback and talking about something we've learned new from a new episode. If you want to give us corrections, by all means, give us stuff. This is not an exact science of what we talk about in regards to unbuilt attractions because, well, they don't exist. So, in the meantime, remember to follow us on social media on Twitter and soon to come Facebook. Feel free, once again, to email us at unbuiltpod@gmail.com and rate us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Anchor, wherever this podcast may be found. Please write a review and tell us how we're doing. And if you don't like us, thank you for listening to Escape from Walt Disney. I'm Tony Goldmark. We'll see you here next time.